Hey, hey, and welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out here with me. We are brought to you by the fine folks over at Remy Martin, and the game just ended. And man, what a ride. What a ride we went on. And there'll be time to kind of digest the entire season. But even inside of this game, what a ride that we went on. First things first, I want to talk about the throw because it was ridiculous. I just kept thinking about Tecmo Bowl. And for those of you that have ever played Tecmo Bowl, you know the move. You just back up and back, like when you're being a real jerk about it and you're playing someone, you just back up and back up and you send Joe Montana back to the opposing goal line, and then he just throws the ball and someone, Jerry Rice, is wide open and catches it in the end zone. Touchdown. And then they do like a high five and everything. That's what that throw was to Cole Kmet. And I don't know where Cole Kmet played his basketball, but what he did to Durant in that moment was impressive, because I kept thinking, if Durant just disengages from Cole, he has a chance to make a play on the ball and the game probably ends right there. But Cole got him like the old power forwards and centers, where they would grab the top of your shorts and hold you down from jumping, and then kind of maybe give you a little chicken wing on the way out. What a great play by him, and to stay present. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Stacey Dales was right there, and she captured the moment. And Cole did his baseball celebration right into her camera, which is fucking amazing. What a shot. The Bears social media team doesn't pay me, nor would they, but they should put a whole gallery together, a video together of Caleb's best throws, his oh my God throws, because there's enough of them for like a 2-minute video, maybe even a 5-minute video if you extend the plays out. Because some of this stuff that he's doing, you're not supposed to be able to do. That play in particular, you're not supposed to be able to make that play. But never, that the plays never seem to be over with him, and it's kind of amazing. Now look, you're not promised anything. The Commanders are sitting there at the end of the year going, oh yeah, we had the crazy Hail Mary and everyone loved our quarterback in the playoffs, and then the next year came and everything fell apart. I do think the Bears are better equipped to handle next season, but we'll see. There's still stuff inside of this game that I know we're going to talk about. Like, I'm certain that we're going to talk about this over the next couple of days. The interception that gives the Rams an opportunity for life, we have to talk about. And I'll get to that. But I want to talk about the play after the crazy Tecmo Bowl throw. Inside of the show group chat, I had said, get off the field, get the ball back, go for two. And I stand by that. I think it would have been better for the Bears if they had to lose, and you don't want to see them lose, but if they had to lose, I would have rather them lost that way, by going for two and not making it and losing the game 17-16 in regulation, instead of the way that they ended up losing the game. And Ben, there are going to be old school people that are going to argue with you that Tony Dungy was doing it at halftime. Take the points. I've been moved on this subject. I do think there are moments when you take the points, but I understand where Ben's coming from. In today's NFL, you got to score. Their defense played well enough, and I guess you could make the argument that because your defense was playing so well, the field goals would have mattered more than in other games. Like that, for example, that Rams game, not the Rams game, the 49ers game, the field goals aren't helping you there. You need 7. And you probably thought coming into the game that you needed 7 because of their offense, but as the game went along and became its own story, maybe it made more sense to kick the field goals. I'm still rolling with Ben on that. I'm totally okay with him going for it. But those points being left on the board is one thing. And then there were drops. There were a lot of drops in this game. Some of them are those plays that only Caleb seems to be able to make with, you know, Patrick Mahomes being injured and stuff. And guys almost being surprised that the ball is on their hands. And they shouldn't be, because he pretty much can touch every angle of the field. The Rome drops early. He did come up with a huge catch late. But the one in the end zone, it's like, you're supposed to end up being this team's number one receiver. And while there have been spectacular throws, the fourth and eighth throw and the throw tonight that he ends up making a great catch and getting his feet down and all that. But some of those catches that you want him to make earlier in games, they need to happen. Like, they need to happen, and they're not happening as frequently as you would like. The other one is the interception by Curl. A lot of people who break down film. So this is not me, okay? But I've seen multiple ex-pros question DJ's want to in some of those moments. They question whether he can become a defender on those plays. It looked like he was a little late, or maybe Caleb was early on the read, but it also looks like DJ wasn't going full speed at the end. And I get it. He's coming from all the way across the field. I want to give him every benefit of the doubt. Coming all the way across the field after being lit up throughout the game, being checked for a concussion. I get all of that. All of that context is important. But I thought in that moment, could he have made a play? And it's going to be discussed. It's going to be discussed not just by people like me. It's going to be discussed by people who played in the NFL on whether or not he could have made that play. And there'll be regret about it. And people will try to figure out if he's the guy that people have already been trying to trade DJ. I think that he ends up being more than a net positive, because look at all the big plays that he's made. But in that moment, and you know me, for the most part, I'm fairly clinical about this. In the moment, I was like, ooh, that felt like a play that maybe DJ could make. So here we are now with the season being over and trying to digest everything that happened throughout the season and all the growth that we saw from Caleb and his relationship with Ben Johnson, which has just been outstanding, and seeing him turn into a phenomenon. Like, he's a phenomenon of a player. The stuff that he's doing is absurd. It's absurd. You're not supposed to be able to do it. And this offseason is going to be fascinating, because in this offseason, with time, what will defensive coordinators come up with? I thought the Rams actually did a pretty good job. And they did that with the Bears making a huge change at left tackle. We talked about it on the podcast last night. They went with Joe Tooney and Jordan McFadden, and I thought those guys did all right. There were a couple of runs late where the Rams got penetration, were able to you know, get tackles for losses or stuffs at the line of scrimmage, and Jared Versey finally figured out. He's like, you know, I'm going to crash down on these. When they get into short and third and short or fourth and short, I'm crashing down. And I'm going to make them get to the outside on these plays, but I'm not just going to give up these 2 yards. So it was good adaptation by Ben Johnson to say, let's get Joe Tooney out there and let's have him make some plays. And it's great stuff by the Rams to stop it. And now you wonder, like, with offseason, what are the plans that other teams are going to have to try and slow Caleb down? And what's the counterbalance that's going to happen for Ben Johnson and say, all right, you guys think we're doing this, but we're going to do this. It's fun knowing that you have a coach that's going to immediately, like, get to work on that too. It makes me sad when I think about the way this game ended. Like, it makes me sad because we've been treated. And I was thinking about it. Like, I was thinking about, I've been texting with, you know, some buddies of mine in media where, you know, folks were like, oh, man, I was looking forward to seeing you in San Francisco. I don't know if the Bears are going to be able to get by Seattle. That defense looks hellified, man. And Darnold is balling, you know. He's playing good ball. But it would have been nice to see them in that environment and see what, like, an ass kick. What does Caleb do against an ass kicking defense? Because that's what Seattle is. Like, they're a model for what your defense should look like. They get pressure with their front four and they play all sorts of cool coverages behind it. And it would have been cool to see that. Like, it sucks that, like, You've been in the cold. If you're a Bears fan, you were out in the cold for 4 hours, and I guess you were rewarded with like an impossible throw that you're going to be like, I can't believe that I was there. There's probably going to be 200,000 people that say they were there that game to see that throw, but it doesn't feel hollow. Like, it's not that, like, there when the Cubs season ended this year, the way that it did, like, that felt hollow. It really did. This doesn't. This feels like the beginning of something, but you're not promised anything in this league. And look around. Look at Kansas City and look at Washington and look at Detroit and look at Philly. Like, everything's set up for you to really be a contender, and all season long, even with them winning games, is like, they're not really a contender. Something's broken and they have to figure out how to fix it. The Bears, their weaknesses, I think, are pretty evident, and you should know, like, the fact that you have, outside of your left tackle, your offensive line is intact and it's good. You know that already. You got to go get some pass rushers, and I would imagine you need to find a cover corner in this draft just in case Jalen still isn't himself, because now we're talking about a guy who's late in his career. You know, would it be year 8 for Jalen? Just in case, you should probably draft a corner that you like. So, those are some of the things that you have to keep in mind for sure if you're the Bears. We'll have time to digest, like, all of this stuff throughout the week and throughout the offseason. And it sucks that that it's so abrupt, you know, and that it feels like you did it again. It feels like the Bears got away with it again. They stole a victory from a defeat. They stole it and they had it. And I'm sitting there on that 3rd and 6. I'm like, if they could just get off the field on the 3rd and 6, then let's see what the Rams do. You know, do they go for it in that moment? And then Puka Nacua sits down in the zone, runs a curl, and makes a play because he's a hell of a football player. He's a tough dude. And Matthew Stafford is tough too. And it sucks, but this is kind of where it's at. And the season itself was good. And I promise you I'll have more content over the next couple of days to talk about that. But what a ride we all went on. What a ride. And now the soul searching being honest about it, the inside of Hallis Hall, all of that's going to take place, and we'll see what type of leadership that the Bears have going forward. So that's where I'm going to leave it for right now. I am going to take a vacation. I am going to take some days off because I have been burning the midnight oil. You see it. You've been watching the pods. But I'm gonna give you a couple more pods before I take off for a couple of days. And I got to figure out how to like restart the whole thing. Like, are we talking about the Bulls being the worst team in the Eastern Conference since Giddey got hurt? Are we going to talk about DePaul finally beating Marquette while there's also a betting scandal around them? Are we going to talk about, we'll talk about the Cubs, right? Alex Bregman. But yeah, man. Yeah. It's too bad. Man, I was looking forward to previewing an NFC championship game. And I can tell you this now that it's over and I didn't tell anybody, I actually put a ticket on the Bears to win the Super Bowl after they lost to the Packers. I got the Bears 30-1, and I actually looked at the cash out opportunity today, and I was like, no, I'm going to let it ride to the NFC championship game. Yeah. Money well spent. I say, I appreciate you listening. Thanks for your support throughout the season. We'll hit another couple pods before I take a couple days off. I will talk to you next time. Don't feel too bad. I know it sucks, but don't feel too bad. All right? Talk to you next time. Peace.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.